Amen. Thank you, Donna, so much for always setting the tone for worship as we gather together at Central Baptist Church. We are so glad you're here today. Look at somebody, give them a little wave and a little smile that says, I am glad to be here today. I'm glad that you are here today. And the bottom line is simply this: God is good
all the time.
He really, really is good. Through the good, through the bad, he is always good. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. Be sure to let him know that that you were there. Let us know that you were there as you were part of our family as well. And we are so tickled to have you with us on every levels of worship this morning. So we are glad to see you here. We trust that your new year is off and rolling well with a lot of blessings, not because of circumstances, because you have heard from me over the past umpteen years that our faith is not in regard to our circumstances, correct? This is yes. If y'all have, you get that picture, this means yes and this means no. Listen, our faith should not be dictated by what our circumstances are, but rather the God that we serve. So we're so glad to have this opportunity today to be able to come together and worship him. And as we do, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Father, as we come to you today, we're again grateful and thankful that you have allowed us this moment in time to be able to come together with like-minded believers, Lord, to just be able to worship you today. So, Lord, as we come into this place and as we prepare our hearts, we realize that there are many things on our agenda. There are many things that are trying to steal our concentration and our focus away from you this morning. And I pray that you will help us, Lord, to put those things into perspective. And during these moments that we lift up our voice to you, I pray that it truly would be a song of praise from our heart straight to your ears. Lord, I pray that as we gather around your word, that the word would truly pierce our soul, because it's quick and sharp, and Lord, sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, help us to give heed to the Holy Spirit today as the Holy Spirit leads our lives to draw us closer to you, to win the lost, or whatever the condition or circumstance of our heart may be. Lord, you are here today to speak to us, and we ask that you would give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would have to say to us. And then, Lord, we ask that you give us courage to act and react upon those things that you are speaking into our heart and the things that you are speaking into our life. So today, Lord, we just pray that as we lift you up, you truly would draw all men unto you. As Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, hymn number 15.
Oh,
Dan has got here this morning. Don actually told me, he said, you know, he said, today's going to be a good day for you. You get to preach as long as you want to because the clock is gone in the back. And I said, all right, that's awesome. You know, we'll be able to do whatever we want today. Now, I'm just kidding, so don't get freaked out or anything. I got this. It's got a clock on it, so I'm going to put it right there. It doesn't mean anything other than it's there. It's to make you guys feel better. So actually, today, we're going to continue a look at the book of Joshua chapter 3. If you've got your Bible, Joshua chapter 3 is what we're going to be looking at, and this is pertinent to us as we head into a new year. Now, I love how the choir actually set up today, you know, when they sang about sometimes we wait. Now, most of us are familiar with what happened to Israel as the Lord, you know, was leading them to the promised land. They got to that place called Kadesh Barnea, and they failed to go into the promised land. And the Lord basically at that point, and this is a little bit of a paraphrase in this regard, the Lord said, I've had enough with you people. I'm done with you. So what's going to happen is, he said, you guys are going to roam in the wilderness for 40 years until those of you who are old enough to have known better are basically going to drop dead in the wilderness. But I still have a plan. I still have a promised land for you. And most of us know that they roamed in the wilderness for 40 years, but eventually the waiting is over. Sometimes we wait, but in the midst of waiting, we learn some things in that process. God always has a plan for everything that's going on. God always has a plan for everything that is taking place in your life. It is all designed to give Him glory and to bring you closer to Him. But what happens is, sometimes when we're waiting, guess what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to get comfortable in the waiting. We have a tendency to be okay. Now, some people would say, well, that's a great quality, you know, being able to adapt and being able to adjust. It is, as long as you don't settle for that when it's less than what it is that God wants for you. So what happened was, yeah, Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years. Wouldn't you think that after doing something for 40 years, you would be used to it? Yeah, you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is okay. This is what it's relegated down to. But God always told him, that's not what I have in store for you. I have a promised land that you're going to go into. And then, of course, we know that essentially what happened was Moses is gone. Could you imagine the blow to the people? They've been led by Moses all those years. Now he's gone. And what happens is Joshua, one of the two spies that came back from the promised land, that said, let's go get her and go get her now. Let's go do it. And yet the people didn't do that. Now Joshua's going to be in charge, and they are making preparation to go from the wilderness into the promised land. I can imagine what the thoughts that people were having must have been. And we come to our text verse, which is actually part of our vision casting as we go into 2024, which comes out of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. We started talking about this last week, but it didn't have enough time to finish it. So we want to finish it up today. But Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 says this, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again, we ask that your word would spring forth life and hope within our heart. Lord, I pray that you will help us to hear directly from you today, that you and you alone would be heard, that you alone would be lifted up, that you alone would be exalted. But Lord, most of all, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I know that you will do that. We can claim that promise from your word. But Lord, as you speak to us, I pray that you will truly let us hear. Lord, let us not be indifferent to what it is that you're saying to us. Let us not think it's for someone else, but Lord, you have this personalized message for each and every one of us today. May we heed your word, and may we step up to the challenge. For Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So yes, now they're at this point where they have been so used to roaming around in the wilderness, I like to call them nomads, for 40 years, but God said, that's not what I had planned for you. You know, you messed up along the way. Now everything has been taken care of. For 40 years, there's been some preparation. For 40 years, I've been trying to teach you how to follow me. And he says, now I'm going to send you in to this land that I have promised you. Now, the interesting part about the land God promised them was he said that it was a land that flows with milk and honey. We've heard that 1,000 times, hadn't we? In other words, they talked about how perfect that place is, how it was going to be awesome to be able to be in there, but yet there was hesitancy to enter into the promised land. Yeah, that's what actually got them in trouble before, because what they saw on the horizon were the giants. What they saw were the problems. What they saw were the issues. And God said, no, you don't understand. I'm going to take care of that for you. But you have got to be willing to fight the battles. Now, I want you to hear me out on this. God doesn't always make our battles simply disappear, although he could. You know, when God says, sometimes I want you to trust me enough to stand in the face of battle and trust that I'm going to deliver you. Has God not done that over and over and over and over again? You see, because God says, that way I get the credit. I get the glory for what's going to happen. I get the glory for what's going to take place. You know me. Gideon is one of my favorite people in the Bible. You know that God cut Gideon's army down to 300 men, insurmountable odds when they went to battle in that book of the Old Testament, and yet they came out victorious. How many times has God done some incredible things? And God even told him why he cut the army down to 300. Remember what the reason was? So that I might get the glory, that I might get the credit. See, if you just went out with your regular army and won, people would just say you're a good leader. They would just say that you had a good battle plan. But that's not what it's about. I want to send you out there when it looks like you can't win. From the earthly basis, this looks like you can't win. See, that's when God gets the most credit. That's when God gets the most glory. But let me tell you what else it is. That's the time that it's most scary for you and me, isn't it? I mean, could you imagine what it was like when David had to face Goliath? I mean, if you break it down in translation, Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. Most of you in your homes have an 8-foot ceiling. And even if you don't, even if you have one of them newfangled homes that you got a 9-foot ceiling, you know, Goliath would still have to be like this to be in your house. In my West Virginia speak, that's a big dude. Now, I don't think I'd want to have to fight him, do you? I don't think I'd want to have to fight that guy. And yet David, a little teenage boy, says, you know, I'm not coming at you just because, you know, I think I'm bigger and badder than you. I am coming at you because you have defiled God. I am going to be an instrument in the hand of God, and I'm going to drop you like a bad habit. Now, that's not the way the King James reads, but you get what I'm saying. And he did. Remember, how many stones did he pick up? How many did he need? One. Because God will fight the battle for you. Now, as people, as we head into a new year, as a church, as we head into a new year, here are some things that you and I need to understand. We need to understand that this verse is for us. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I don't know about you, but I'm still ready to see God do some great wonders. How about you? And we can't settle for the status quo. Last week, those were some of the things that we talked about. And we talked about what our vision is coming into this year. We talked about what CBC stands for. That's what we call ourselves, Central Baptist Church, or CBC. That's in our email address. That's in everything else. So what does that stand for? For coming into this year, the first C stands for connect. Now, again, this was last week. To connect. We need to connect with God, and we need to connect with others. The B stands for build up. We need to build up the body through encouragement and edification. We need to be on each other's side. Everywhere you go, people have just gotten nasty in this day and age, haven't they? And I mean, you know, people are so intolerant with one another. People are so forceful in what they say and how they say it. And that has extended to God's people. Where is the mercy? Where is the edification? Where is the building up? Where is the encouragement to be able to put one foot in front of the other? That is what God's people are supposed to do. That's the way we're supposed to roll. If there was ever anybody who was supposed to be on your side, it's a brother or sister in Christ. If there was ever anybody that was supposed to build you up, it's a brother or sister in Christ. And yet the world has crept in to the Christian, and the world has crept into the church. So our B in CBC for this year is going to be to build up the body through encouragement and edification. Anybody can complain. We've got that one down to a science, don't we? How many of y'all self-confess complainers? There's my people. I love you guys. Thank you for your honesty today. Yeah, the rest of y'all, you need to repent because you just lied in church. Don't tell me you don't complain. We do. Sometimes we don't even realize we do. We go into that automatic complain mode. And yet, what are we doing to build up the body? What are we doing to build up one another? That's the B, build up. And what's the C? The other C is to challenge, to change the status quo, to change the culture to a culture of love, to a culture of joy, to a culture of fellowship, not only within the church, but within the world. You know, there's something to be said about a culture. That's what brings people to the house of the Lord. That's what makes people want to be able to be here when you know that your brothers and sisters genuinely love you, when they're there to put their arms around you, when they're there to walk the tough mile with you. That makes all the difference in the world. I think I shared it last week when I said, you know what? For me, what a glorious sight. Last month at my dad's funeral, in the middle of a snowstorm, 3 hours away, people from my church showed up to love us, to support us, to be there, to walk through one of the toughest times in life. Folks, that is the challenge, that we all become that way, that we all put ourselves out there on the line, because when we do that, there won't be enough room on this property for the people that want to be here to be loved. I promise you that. I promise you that. That's what your CBC is, to challenge, to change the status quo, to create that culture that consists of love and joy and fellowship, and in the process be creating champions for Christ and carrying out the Great Commission, to commission those to go forward. I've shared with you that one of the greatest things I've seen in the church I grew up in my home church, was the fact that thanks be to God for a little old lady and a little old man. You've heard me talk about them for 20 years here. Margaret and Pete Sense, I am still calling their name, although they're with Jesus. I mean, they were in their 80s, and they took the little boys' Sunday school class. Hallelujah. I mean little boy Sunday, the brat class, the brat pack, not the rat pack, but the brat pack. Nobody else wanted us. Man, there was the preacher's kid, they were the deacon's kids. Ain't nobody want to teach us. They would a whole lot rather tie us to the railroad track. Oh no, then here was little old Margaret and Pete Sense. And let me tell you what they did. They loved on us. And they prayed for us. I shared before that at Christmas, we were thinking, hey, man, they're going to give us some cool toys. And I got a Bible dictionary. I thought, thank you. Let me tell you something. I still have that Bible dictionary in my library to this day. You see, you didn't want to disappoint Miss Margaret or Mr. Pete, because they were like loving grandparents. You didn't want to do anything to upset them. I believe the last count was that 16 of those little boys that Margaret and Pete Sense had over the years that they prayed for diligently, day in and day out, are in full-time ministry serving the Lord. 16! Full-time pastors, evangelists, out there serving the Lord to this very day. Let me tell you why. Because they loved us, they cared about us, they believed in us, and they knew that God was beyond us swimming in the baptistry. He was beyond us getting drinks out of the refrigerator when we shouldn't have been. And all the while, they didn't chastise us, but they loved us and they prayed for us and they made sure that God's call on our heart would be loudly and clearly heard. Don't make them like that anymore. or do they? We can be them. You see, the Bible tells us, not the preacher, but the Bible tells us, the field is ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. But then it gives us instructions. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the fields. Wow. I think about that legacy. I think about what it's going to be like when I get to see Miss Margaret. I can see her right now, you know, wanting to hug me and saying, you were thick-headed, but you got it. You got it. And thanks be to the Lord. Look at what God did with you. All because of a little old lady and a little old man who weren't afraid to take a Sunday school class of brat little boys. See, you don't see that happen much anymore. You know why? Because there's not that much connection anymore. So what are we looking at as we go into 2024? What is our vision? What is it that is going to distinguish us from not only everybody else, but from what God has called us to do? And it all begins with connection. Now, like I said, when I get the time, the moment, the resources and everything else, you're going to see this around as we go through this year, but it's called Connect Four. There's connections that you and I have to make. The pandemic didn't want us to connect with anybody, did they? Nope. But you know what? I believe that's one of the things that helped hurt Christianity, that helped hurt spirituality, is because we're designed to do life together. That's what church is all about. It's not about sitting on the couch with your Egg McMuffin and your coffee. It's about coming here and doing life together. It's about praying for one another in the tough times. It's about being able to stand with somebody and say, brother, listen, I got you six on this one. Yeah, and if you need me to, I'll be out in front of you when need be. And don't get me wrong, man, I'm glad that we have the technology that we have to be able to reach folks who need to be reached in that way. But if you don't need to be reached that way, you need to be reached this way. You need to be at the family reunion every Sunday when we get together, when we can love on one another and encourage one another, and when we can grow together. So what are the four connections that we need to look at as we go into this year? And by the way, what does that have to do? Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders when we head in His direction. The first thing we need to do is we need to connect with God better than we ever have. That means that we need to be prayer warriors. That means we need to get back to the point where everything that's done can be traced to a kneeling figure, whether it's in a sanctuary, in the privacy of your home, no matter where, because God has never done anything of any eternal significance aside from prayer. We need to connect with God in that way. We have folks around here. Bonnie sends out a prayer list every Saturday over the electronic devices. I hope and pray that you're taking that and that you are praying for those people. You know, she's a champion for the cause of connecting with the Lord through prayer. We have got to get a better connection with God. So that's one of the four connections is that we're going to have to connect with God a lot better in 2024 than we have in the past. The second connection is that you need to connect with your church. You need to connect with the brothers and the sisters that are here among you. We're on the same side. We are part of the same family. We share the same living room. We share the same dining room table. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. We have got to do better at connecting with the brothers and sisters. Now, how do we do that? There's a lot of different ways. I'll get to some of those as we go forward. But I'm laying out for you what the Lord's put on my heart for Him to do some great things in our midst tomorrow. Remember, we got to connect with God. We're going to have to connect with our church brothers and sisters or believers. Thirdly, we need to connect with the lost. If you are not going to be in and among lost people, you will never win a lost person to Jesus. Did you hear me? Satan doesn't want us to be around lost people. He wants us to turn in on ourselves and just come together and have just a good old hoot nanny ho down here every time we get together and love on one another. He don't want us around lost people. He doesn't want us to share the gospel message with somebody. We are going to have to connect with some lost people. You know what that means? They're not going to look like you. They're not going to talk like you. might not even smell like you. They're going to not dress like you. But let me tell you, last time I checked, Jesus died on the cross and rose again for them, just like he did for you and me. And he has given us an assignment. We have got to connect with them to be able to reach them. There are lost people all around us. And yet we don't want to get to the point where we just come in here and say, well, we're just going to love on each other because we're like-minded in that regard. You have got to love on some lost people. I think last week I shared the old adage of Spider when Spider came to know Jesus at my previous church. The biker-riding, leather-wearing, tattooed guy that every little old lady in my previous church loved on and loved him into the kingdom of heaven. And his cousin, because he got so excited about Jesus, he went and won his cousin to the Lord, who was a quadriplegic. Remember the one I talked about? We baptized a quadriplegic. That's faith. I don't know if I trust somebody enough to put my head underwater when I got both arms and both legs at work, much less when I don't. And because of a bunch of little old ladies that took the time to go back and love on this guy when he walked into the church, it changed not only his life, it changed his eternity. That story can be yours. We have got to connect with lost people. If our job is to represent Jesus in the hearts and the lives of those who don't know him, you better be out there with those who don't know him, right? Now, that's within reason. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some places you need to be very careful about where you go. Yeah, but there's neutral ground to be able to reach lost people. We have got to connect with the lost. And here's the fourth thing of the connect four. Remember, it's connect with God, connect with the church, connect with the lost, and we have to connect by service. What are we doing to serve the Lord through our church? That doesn't mean just on Sundays when we come together. What are the talents and abilities that God has given us to make a difference ministry-wise? How are you connected? And I'm asking you that question personally today. How are you connected to your church in service? Think about it. I'm not asking you to answer it out loud, but what is it that you are doing to serve Christ through your church? Now, you can come up with 10,000 reasons why you're not. I'm not worried about the 10,000 reasons why you're not. I'm worried about the one of why you are. And the reason why is because if God's given you that talent and ability, and if God's brought you here, he's brought you here for that sole purpose, to use that gift, talent, and ability for his honor and for his glory through Central Baptist Church, period. Do you really believe that, preacher? Yep, I do. I really, really do. And to not be doing that, the only person that you wind up hurting is you. Connect four. That's our theme. How are you connecting every time you walk through this door? How are you going to connect in 2024 better with God? How are you going to connect better with your brothers and sisters in the church? How are you going to connect with the lost in this year? How are you going to connect by service? And all the things that we do within our church should be pointed toward that specific thing. How do we do that? What are some things that we need to see? First of all, we need to evangelize as we go forward. Yeah, and how do we evangelize in a church? Well, there's services. Preaching services is one thing, but also through lifestyle evangelism. You living what the Lord is teaching you will draw people to you. I love lifestyle evangelism. But the church needs to evangelize. And a lot of people would say, okay, well, you know, we don't generally have too much trouble doing that, and you're correct, but we have trouble with the second one, and that's discipleship. Now, I want to tell you this. We do have opportunities for you to be discipled. Now, I want to point something out. The Lord said to the early church to go and make what? Disciples. Did he say go make converts? Don't get me wrong. That's kind of a trick question. But he said go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. So how are we making disciples, one that follows Jesus? And it might surprise you, but guess what? We still have Sunday school classes around here. That's discipleship. We have people dedicated who study and show themselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have Sunday school. We have Sunday night discipleship right here. Tonight, you will have an opportunity for another discipleship as Dave teaches Bible study right here in this sanctuary. We have Awana for kids. That's a discipleship program to teach them the word of God that the Holy Spirit can bring it to their heart and to their mind. We have even the virtual Wednesday night Bible study. That is discipleship. That is a way for you to be able to connect so that you might be able to grow. We have discipleship groups. We're just getting started with some of those small groups. I've got a discipleship group on Sunday afternoon, my men's group. Steve has a discipleship group on Monday. And let me tell you something, relationships are solidified in those small groups. One of the greatest things that you will ever do is become part of one of those small groups. And I know you don't understand that now, but you ask some of these crusty old guys in Steve's thing that you sit there and go, "You're part of a discipleship group?" Kind of grumpy old men that love each other, that love to be able to serve the Lord, that love to be able to come together. Disciples, listen, we want to start some more of those groups. No, they don't have to meet. Steve's group meets on Monday. It meets here, but you don't have to meet here. You can meet at the restaurant. You can meet anywhere. But for crying out loud, get together and learn and grow from the Word of God with each other. That's discipleship, and I will make this promise. When you do it and do it right, you will enjoy it, and you will look forward to every time you have an opportunity to meet. It's not like the days of old, like you remember. It's not like sitting down with your piece of paper and going through 5 points in a poem and memorize this and go do that. No. It's being able to just sit around and talk about what the Bible taught you for that week and to participate in it. It's easy, but it's not shallow. So discipleship is what has to be paramount in 2024. What else do we have to do? We've got, folks, here's the bottom line. You have got to get involved. That's really what it boils down to. You have got to get plugged into the church. I can't tell you how many people today who their philosophy is, I don't want to be the church, I want to go to the church. I want to show up on Sunday, I want to hear what you have to say, I want to get out, I want to go eat lunch, I want to go home, I want to watch football or racing or whatever season it may be. Don't ask me to do anything. Folks, that's not church. That's not church as it was designed in the Bible. That is not church how the book of Acts tells us that it's supposed to be. You have got to get involved. Where are you involved? In some way, shape, form, or fashion. Even if it's to be able to shake a hand and say, "Hey, look, man, I'll tell you one thing. I am so glad to see you today," with a smile on your face. I will promise you that's changed lives. I've told you the story about Candyman Jack, who part of the reason I'm here today is not only because of Margaret and Pete's sins, but because of an older guy who understood the value of being involved and asked me to catch the short aisle of my home church. We had a big center aisle, and four ushers would come down there. Then there was two over here, and then there was two on the outside. Woo-wee. Man, that was happening. The short aisle was that one over there. Not the major one, not the significant one. The short aisle guy never did the prayer, but guess where I started off? The short aisle. Until Mr. Jack one day said, "Hey, how about if you move from the short aisle to the middle aisle today?" Wow. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. You would have thought I had just been promoted to president. And I still remember walking down there with pride and lining up with those four at the table. Because, oh, by the way, offering is also an act of worship. And I still remember carrying myself with pride, being plugged into my church. And then one day, Mr. Jack said, "I got a challenge for you." He said, "I want you to do the offertory prayer." "Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey." The prayer? Really? But you know why? That meant something to me. I was plugged into my church. And I don't care what it is. I don't care how insignificant that you might think that it is. If you are not plugged in, when you're plugged in, the church becomes your church. It becomes something you do. And I'd be sitting there going, "Come on, Mom, Dad, let's go. We got to go. Mr. Jack is going to give my short aisle to somebody else." He's going to find somebody else to invest in, and I don't want to lose my short aisle. Let's get moving. Another reason why I'm here today, folks, you have got to get involved. And some people say, well, I'm old and I'm retired. If you're still breathing, God's not done with you yet. You are not retired. And I don't care if it's making a telephone call, if it's sending a card, if it's shaking a hand, or what it is. God is leading you to be involved in some way, plugged in to your church. Which way is it? If I were to ask you today, how are you personally involved, how would you answer that question? Don't answer it out loud. These are things you need to think about as we go forward. Another thing is fellowship. We call everything in the church fellowship because we always eat around those fellowships, and that's okay. Yeah, the picnic. What about small group get-togethers? Like the, I know that some of the Sunday school classes will get together. What about other things? How do we incorporate the lost in those things? Yeah, we've talked about it. Now, by the way, every fellowship thing doesn't have to incorporate lost people. It's time for us to be able to grow together. But think about it for a minute. What kind of fellowship are we doing with each other across the board? You know, we got another church meeting right next door. We need to do some fellowship with them, and it needs to be okay. We don't need to go, oh, they're different than us. Embrace the differentness. Yeah, embrace being able to sit back and say, they're God's children. You know what? God might just put their mansion right next door to yours. You might have to look across the yard and see them every day. They might be in the room right across from you. What are we doing to fellowship for the sake and the glory of God? Another thing we have to do as we go forward in 2024 is missions. You know what? I never knew a church that did a better job at missions than we did. Now, I'll say the pandemic has hurt us. You know, we covered our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world in the past. And now we're still hanging in there. Yeah, we still got a team. We got a team leaving for Cuba March 1st through the 8th. So we still got the uttermost parts of the world covered. And you know what? We're doing really good around here because of Carefree. Even though we lost Wyoming, we couldn't go there, yet we've replaced it by being able to go and serve at Carefree. And what a great, great ministry that is right here in our own backyard. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But there are other things. What is it that God's put on your heart? Other locations, other areas. I know that for myself and for Steve and for Jimmy in particular, we're involved with the North Carolina Baptist men. If a disaster happens, we're on it, aren't we, brother? We're carrying a feeding unit to wherever it is. Steve is a chaplain. He goes on site to be able to minister to people in those hurting areas and needs. All these things are available for each and every one of us to be a part of. We're going to have to up our missions game in 2024. And some of y'all are sitting back going, that's an awful lot that you're asking us to do. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just saying this is what the Lord expects us to do where we are. Our mission game has to be better. I'm not saying it's bad. We just got to do better. We got to work harder. And then let me give you one of the, I don't know, for some odd reason, this seems to be the toughest things as we kind of close out today. We need to invite people to come to church. We won't do that for some odd reason anymore. Yeah, we've become a generation of arm's length. And people sit back and say, well, we text message. Well, text somebody to meet you in church. We use email. Email somebody and say, meet me at the doors of the church. I don't care how you contact them. But you need to invite people, lost people, to be a part of the church. There's enough lost people around here to fill every church in Oak Ridge beyond capacity that we might reach them with the gospel of Christ. We're going to have to reach out to them. We have never done better than when we tried. So what I want you to do, and you will hear more about this, I want you to begin praying about who it is that God has put on your heart that is your one that you are going to work on meeting here in this church for this coming year. I want you to pray about it. I want you to invite them. If you have to, go pick them up. If you have to, buy them lunch. Food draws people. Say, hey, look, I'll take you out for a steak dinner at lunch. If you need help, let us know. But listen, we've never done better than when we tried. We need to invite people. There are people, and I'm not going to ask this question, There are people in this day and age that don't even know their neighbors. And some of y'all might be in that boat. But I will tell you one thing. When most of us were growing up, not only did you know your neighbors, they would spank your tail when you got out of line. Most of the time, mama didn't worry about you on Saturday at lunchtime. If you didn't show up, you were eating lunch at one of your buddy's houses, and mama, their mama was feeding you, right? What happened to those days? You know what? Even though people have changed, they haven't changed that much that when you love on people, it won't make a difference, because it will. Are we inviting people to be a part of our church? Are we inviting them to be a part of the ministry? Are we inviting them to be part of the discipleship groups? We're going to have to do better on that in 2024. And in 2024, we're going to have to get our priorities in order, because our first priority needs to be God Almighty. Is God first in your life? I mean, that's just a plain bottom line. If God's not first in your life, none of this stuff's going to work out. If God is first in your life, He will give you the plan as you go forward. Is He number one in your life? Is church a priority in your life? Now, I've said this so many times, and I know that the majority of people I have in here now are more grandparents than they are parents, but I've said this before to parents. If you don't make church a priority in your life, it will not be a priority in your children's lives. And you know what? History has proven me out in regard to that. If it's not important to you, it's not important to them. If it's not a priority for you, it will not be a priority for them. And then what happens is people come back and say, well, I wonder why my kids never ever want to dawn the doorstep of church ever again. Well, it wasn't important to you, so it wasn't important to them. Now, it's not every case. You know what? I know there's people that grew up in church, was in church all the time and understood that, but let me make you this promise as well. The Bible also tells us that if you train up a child in the ways they should go, when they're old, they won't part from it. They're miserable, and they'll eventually come home. They'll eventually get back. They'll eventually get involved, because they will eventually understand the importance of it in their life when God shows up in a great, great way. Is it a priority? Is God first in your life? How do we make that happen? You see, we have to begin to see everybody that we come in contact with the same way that the Father sees them. You know, one of the things that hit me the hardest, and it's been years, you've heard me preach about it, was that passage of Scripture where Jesus asked His disciples, said, "Do you see this woman?" Remember we talked about that? Do you see her? And I think He was asking that in a lot of different ways. But see, how many times are there people that God puts right in our midst that we don't see them the way God sees them? We don't see the need. We don't see the spiritual need. We don't see the physical need. We don't see anything because we're too busy just blowing through life. And Jesus said to His disciples, "Do you see this woman?" I'm asking you today, as we go into 2024, to see people differently than you see them today. I'm asking you to see them through the eyes of the Father, through the compassion, through the love, through everything that Jesus is, and ask yourself, what would Jesus do in a circumstance or a situation like that? And I will also make you this promise. You won't have to look far before you will begin to see it, because you will hear the Lord lead you when you begin to look through His eyes. We need to see all people the way Jesus sees them. And we need to be willing to minister in every circumstance and situation that the Lord gives us. There's a school that's going to be meeting down here starting in August. That can be a tremendous, tremendous mission field in and of itself. We need to create some ways to be able to reach out to people and minister to our community in ways that are going to be effective, ways that are needed. We need to be able to meet some needs in this community that will draw people, if for any other reason, to meet that need and then give us a chance to love on them. You know, it could be even something as simple as what they call a day break, you know. Let moms come by and drop their kids off for an hour or two and be able to go have lunch with some of the other moms that they get a chance to meet with, and let us pull our hair out with their kids while that's going on. I'm not talking about daycare. I'm talking about give me a break. Some of y'all know. Some of y'all understand what it's like to need a break. Maybe it's to give a caregiver a break. Some of y'all have been caregivers before, and you've been at the end of your rope. And just to be able to say, I tell you what, we're going to come by and we're going to sit with your daddy or your mama or what have you and give you a chance to go get groceries and go get your hair done or go get your nails fixed or do whatever it is that you want to do. And we've got your back. We've got you covered. You don't know how much that would mean in people's lives. But we've got to find ways to do that. And what do we have to do? We're going to have to take our CBC, Connect, Build Up, and Challenge, to bring about the connection with God, connection with the church, connection with the lost, and connection by service, that we might evangelize, discipleship, get involved, fellowship, serve in missions, and be sure that we're making invitations. And when we do that, let me make you the promise of Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Sanctify yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And God wants to do wonders among us. God's still looking for a few good men. Not men that are capable. It's kind of funny that I've noticed that most of the time, the ones God calls are not capable. But you know what they are? They are willing and obedient. That is the difference. Because you see, when you say, I can't do that, Lord, he says, I know. But because you can't, I can. Watch what I can do. Folks, I believe that 2024 really can be our best year. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe God's done with us. I believe we've been beat up since the pandemic. We look completely different. But you know what? I've looked out over this crowd, and it's been unreal over the past couple of years, the things I know that each of you guys have been through. And you know what? You're still standing. You have suffered medical issues. You have suffered loss. You have suffered tragedy. You have suffered severe hurt. You have suffered loneliness. You have encountered so much opposition from Satan. And you carry battle scars with you. But let me tell you what's different about you. You're still here. You're still in the game. You're still putting one foot in front of the other. And I will take a bunch like that any day of the week. Because God will use you to change the world. Because you're not quitters. You're trusting him. You've been example. Lord, I don't know why this is going on in my life, but I trust you. Lord, I don't know why this hurt is taking place, but I'm trusting you. Lord, help me to focus on you. That's you. You guys are the coolest of cool. Because even though beat up and banged up, you're still charging. And I love that about you. I will tell you that there's a lot of people who haven't done that. There's a lot of people who have turned and gone the other direction. Not you. God can change this town with you if you believe that. Are you going to connect? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come on up. We're going to prepare for our invitation. Today's message was a little different than before. It was more vision casting as we go into this year. But as always, I can't get by without saying to you or asking the question, have you trusted Christ within your life? It's not about how much money you give or how much good you do. It's not what kind of reputation you have. It's about whether or not you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. It's not about whether you filled out the card or talked to or even prayed with the pastor. It's about the time that you went one-on-one with God and said, Lord, I do know I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. And I know I'm not capable on my own. Lord, I'm trusting you, and I'm asking you to save my soul. And he'll do that. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. He says, now you're one of my children. I want to walk with you. If you ever adopted a child, you wouldn't go by the adoption agency and pick the child up and bring them home and just turn them loose. Never talk to them again. Never provide for them. No, you'd want to have a relationship. That's what God wants with each and every one of us. You do that through prayer, through his word, through seeking him. Have you done that? See, don't mistake what salvation really is. I'm begging you today to look into your heart, listen to the Holy Spirit, and see if you're a born-again believer. If not, let's chat. If not, let's make that change today. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here today, and you know what? It's been easy to sit on the sidelines. It's been easy to sit on the bench. It's been easy to be an armchair quarterback. Because I will tell you this much. I look at things like athletic events, and I can tell you right now, I am the greatest coach in the world. Nick Saban ain't got nothing on me. I've told every mistake he's made in calling plays in a football game. I don't know why they hadn't called me, Angel. I know how all that, because I am the best armchair quarterback that ever lived. You know what that means? Armchair quarterback means I have never been in that position a day in my life. And what that really means is that I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And you see, a lot of us have become really good at being armchair Christians. Now, I can criticize with the best of them. Here lately, I've been more in tune to criticize the officials rather than the coaches. See, I told you, we're professional criticizers, aren't we? Now, if I was a referee, do you think I'd be criticizing the officials? Maybe. But the bottom line is, it's not about doing that. Let's not be armchair Christians this year. Let's get in the game. Let's change the game. God didn't call spectators, He called participators. How will we participate in His vision in 2024 to change Oak Ridge and regions beyond with the gospel of Christ? Maybe there's some things that we just need to say, Lord, you know what? That's what I've been. I've been mean. I've been nasty. Nobody wants to be around me. I'm turning that new leaf over today. It's a new year. I'm leaving the past behind me. I'm going into the future, and I am going to be what you want me to be. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you energy. It's probably even going to cost you money. But the question is, are you willing to take that step that God might do some incredible things? See, we know because we've read the story. What happened when they went into the promised land? They still had to march around Jericho, didn't they? They still had to face battles. They still had to go to Ai. God didn't make the battles go away, but He said, I'll be with you through them. That means we're going to have battles around here. We're going to have to fight them. Not with each other, but against old Satan. If Satan can get us fighting each other, he's got us won. But God's saying, I'm going to show up through you if you give me a chance. Will you do that? Listen, what do you need to do? If you need this altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. If you trusted Christ, I pray you'll let us know so that we can celebrate with you. Whatever the case may be, make sure you get it right with God right now as we stand together and sing our invitation hymn as Brad leads us.
Only Trust Him, 317.
Business with God. The question is, what has He spoken into your heart today? The question's not if He spoke into your heart today, because His word doesn't return void. It's about what He did speak into your heart today and what will you do with it. Make sure that you've got it right with the Lord before you leave this place on this very day. As you continue to seek the Lord, I'm going to ask that our ushers would come forward as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, your goodness is beyond anything that we could ever imagine in our lives, Lord. Every good thing comes from you, and we're grateful for the way that you have provided for us. And Lord, you just ask for so little back. I pray that we could be found faithful today to return the tithe and offering to you, that Lord, you might bless us beyond anything we've ever imagined, simply because your word says, try me on this and see if I will not bring forth a blessing that you can't even contain. Lord, today, help us through this new year to take up the dare in regard to our giving. And Lord, not just that we might be blessed, Father, but that your work may continue in a mighty, mighty way. So, Father, today we ask you bless the gift and giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple things, and we'll get you on out of here. I just want to let you know that as far as celebrations for this week, today is Misty Logan's birthday, and actually tomorrow is Mitch's birthday, right? Now, did I get that right? They're two together. They must have to celebrate together, right? That's it. So we'll remember Mitchell Logan, known as Mitch, and Misty. Misty's is today, Mitch's is tomorrow. And then this coming Saturday, Kirk Gross and Michelle Vernon Duncan will be celebrating birthdays. So give them a hug, send them a message, give them a card, give them a $100 bill, take them out to lunch, whatever. I'm sure they won't mind either of those. So be sure to let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. Just a couple things today. My discipleship group will meet at 3:30 over in the conference room. Choir rehearsal today will be at 4:45. Remember, there was a change last time. So today, y'all say this with me. Say choir rehearsal at 4:45. Once again, choir rehearsal is at 4:45. Okay. Now, so if you get it wrong, that's all on you, because they say if you repetition gets it, 4:45, back to the old time. Also, Awana will meet at its regular time, 5:30 today over in the Family Life Center. And then Sunday Bible study tonight in here with David Miller, 6 o'clock p.m. Monday, 6:30, Steve Kelly's discipleship group meets here at the church over in the conference room. On Wednesdays, every Wednesday, there's a men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax at 10 o'clock. So you can kind of make it in there between. Some of you don't get up early. Some of you, you know, I don't know. At 10 o'clock seems to be right in the middle. So there's no agenda. Just go have some wonderful time of fellowship, getting to know each other. Men's breakfast at 10 o'clock. Now, I'm going to skip on down in my announcements because the ladies are not going to get left out of this either. So on January the 17th, which is a Wednesday, the ladies will actually be having a breakfast fellowship at Cagney's Restaurant on Friendly's. That's going to be the 17th at 9 a.m. They're a little earlier than the guys. You can actually talk to Mari for more information. Sylvia, where's Sylvia? There's okay, Sylvia. That is Sylvia back there. I knew that. Wave again, Sylvia, so people can see you. If you have any questions about that, see Sylvia, and she can get you the information on the Women's Breakfast Fellowship at Cagney's Restaurant on Friendly on Wednesday, January the 17th at 9 a.m. Did I cover it, Sylvia? Good deal. Also on the 21st of this month, Building and Grounds meeting, 3:30, Family Life Center. And then the month of January, I'm letting you know this for the Media Center. There are books in the narthex. You can feel free to help yourself to those. You can have them, no charge, because those are some books that we're having to get some out of the Media Center to bring new stuff in. So anything that's left in there by February the 4th will either be given away or thrown away. So be sure to go through that. If there's anything in the narthex that you see that you would like, feel free to take that with you. And also be in prayer for our 2024 Cuba missions team. That trip is scheduled for March the 1st through the 8th. During the month of February, we will be giving the church an opportunity to fund the ministries there. As you all know, those that are going on the trip will raise their own money outside of the church so that whatever the church gives perpetuates the ministry that we do in Cuba, not only while we're there, but throughout the whole year. It's pretty incredible, the things that you've done. I wish you could see it on so many levels, but I'll be giving you more information as we raise our funding for that during the month of February. So I'm sure I've forgotten some things. Thank you for those that participated in the blood drive, whether to roll up your sleeve or whether it was to help out Miss Katie over there, who does a wonderful job. Weather was horrible, but still had a pretty good turnout, even given the weather. So at any rate, Pastor David, if you would come with anything I have completely left out or forgotten, and then see us off in a word of prayer.
In the conference room. And then many of you remember Dennis Nunn, who has come and filled in with our pastor several times. Many of you knew his wife had a long-term illness. She went home to be with the Lord last night, so keep that family in your prayers. Let me lead you as we pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that not only do you love us, you give us opportunity to serve you. Father, help us in this year to find what your will is for our life, where we need to serve and how we need to serve. Then, Father, give us the courage and the fortitude to do what you've called us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.